Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Rolling to the right is Flacco. Tries to step up, he is hit, and he's going to be sacked. Dante Fowler got him inside the 40-yard line. Flacco drops the throw against a four-man rush. Now he moves around, he's going to get sacked again. The Jaguars got him again inside the 20-yard line that time. Another three and out. Calais Campbell was in the middle of it. Goes toward the end zone, he's got Mark. Mercedes Lewis into the end zone for the touchdown. A wheel route to Mercedes Lewis for the touchdown, and the Jags have scored again. Great drop by Bortles. Looking, fires toward the end zone. What's Mercedes Lewis? Mercedes has it into the end zone. Touchdown! They throw a fade to the right side to Mercedes Lewis. Mercedes makes the catch in the corner of the end zone. Touchdown! Flacco under center. Dropping the throw is the veteran. Looks to the left side. Throws left side. Lineup ball is knocked incomplete and now picked off. A.J. Boye, what an interception that was. He knocked it up into the air and then made the diving interception. That's a takeaway for the Jaguars.
Once he got one, he kept coming up to me. He said, Jay, yours is coming.
Flacco fires downfield. Diving attempted, picked off. A diving interception by Jalen Ramsey.
We got the best secondary in the league, easily. We went out there, we showed it. I'm going to go out and say we got the best defense in the league.
Live from TIAA Bank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. Jaguars Today live at 1010XL World Headquarters this morning. Tony, on a February 19th that will best be remembered for the fact that Mr. Big Chest is the number one trending topic on my Twitter timeline right now.
When does he give some kind of clarification as to what the heck that means? Is it like a chest of money? Is that the idea?
Is that the guaranteed money? I assumed he's puffing out his chest because he thinks he's the best receiver that ever walked the earth. Talking about Antonio Brown.
Right. Is it the don't talk to me unless it's guaranteed?
Like, but Tony, that can't be right because none of this was about his contract, he said, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Now he doesn't want any of that unguaranteed stuff.
I mean, Antonio, look, I don't know what kind of athlete you are playing other sports, but if you wanted a bunch of guaranteed money, if you wanted it all to be guaranteed, you should have chosen basketball, or if you could play at baseball, you're playing football and everything you get isn't guaranteed unless you're, you know, Kirk Cousins.
Look, if you just toed the line, you know, and look, do whatever you want, I suppose, man. It's not my money. You know what
sure.
I mean? In the end, go crazy, Antonio, right, Mr. Big Chest? But if he had just kind of not rocked the boat, he'd be getting all his money.
Yes,
right?
He would.
I mean, they're not going to cut Antonio Brown anytime. So this idea that his contract needs to be guaranteed, you know, great. You've been fantastic. You're not making it easy on a team to sit there and say, I'm going to go out and acquire this guy because he's going to be satisfied with whatever we give him, or what if he's not catching 110 balls? What if, you know, what if we're not winning enough? All these different things. What if the quarterback one day mentions somebody else in his postgame press conference before Mr. Big Chest? About Mr. Big Elbow over there, Tony. You see that play Mr. Big Elbow made this week? Antonio Brown wants to be known as Mr. Big Chest. All right. We brought this up early in the week. You brought this up, and you probably not thinking about where I'm going to go here, but I did not know what was more surreal. Antonio Brown declaring that he wants to be known as Mr. Big Chest, or every single second of Abducted in Plain Sight on Netflix.
Holy cow.
What in the world?
Like, it's from the very start, you're just going, and look, as I told you yesterday, all I told you was I watch a lot of true crime stuff. And the entire time, like the entire hour and a half,
come out and go,
I was just, this is not real. Like,
it can't be real, right?
It can't, like, no one is this dumb and gullible to allow this kind of thing to happen.
Twice?
Apparently.
Multiple times?
Apparently somebody is.
I mean, just look, all you have to do is watch literally the first 5 seconds of the program, and you see the little narrative intro on the screen where it tells you that trusted neighbor so-and-so abducted a young girl from this family.
Yeah.
Twice. Same guy, same kid.
Twice.
What in the world? I'm telling you, I don't want to spoil it for anybody else. It's only 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
If you've got Netflix, if you like true crime, watch it. If you want to just be stunned if you want to feel better about yourself.
Holy cow.
If you think you're dumb. okay? If you're like, I'm not the brightest person. Heck, A, I listen to Mike and Tony every day, right?
Right.
Knocks a few points off my IQ on a morning-wide basis. But if you are in that camp and you want to feel better about yourself, go watch this program. And you know, I feel bad for the girl who in the midst of all this.
Oh, it's horrific. The story is horrifying.
But almost to the point where you almost could have seen her going, yeah, you didn't really think I believed that, right?
Right.
I mean, it was – and I don't want to spoil it. People, we're just talking.
Sure.
We don't want to give away the details.
It's still relatively new on Netflix, at least.
Correct. And so go watch it if you want to. By next week, we will fully spoil the hell out of this program, all right? Abducted in Plain Sight. Most unbelievably stupid family I've ever
and they're on there.
Encountered.
It's like,
I mean,
it's them talking to you about what happened. It's not like it's somebody else saying this is what we heard.
This is
them sitting there telling you what happened, and you're sitting there going, "What?
What about the moment he goes, maybe the worst decision I've ever made in," and then he kind of trails off and looks away.
It was one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen.
He did what?
If you thought like the fire documentary, the moment with the guy like going to talk to get the water for the thing, like if you thought that was a whoa moment, you have no idea.
You have not seen anything until you've seen Abducted in Plain Sight on Netflix. So look, I have no stock in Netflix. I don't care if you have it or not. I'll give you my password. No, I will not. But anyway, it's a shame because people who had no idea what we're talking about who haven't seen it, please see it. Let's make this a communal experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy, what would compel this guy to go on camera at this point in time and admit to all the things he's done? And we're talking about the father.
Yeah, I don't
know. Who didn't, I mean, just like the stupid series of, and when I say series of decisions, Tony, ongoing for,
You can't believe it.
There are like 10 things in there that you're like, that can't possibly be true.
No.
There's no way that is true.
No.
And they're all true,
they're
apparently.
They happened.
Wow, man. Ooh.
And the investigator, like the FBI guy.
The guy's like,
he's so livid at them.
He looked a little familiar to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right? Didn't he look like, see, that's why I almost thought, is this some big troll job? Is this some giant thing where, like, in a month they're going to go, let's see how many people we catfished on this. Because he looked like almost like an actor I've seen before. All the people who were supposedly part of the family, I didn't get that vibe. But the head of the FBI, part of the investigation, he did kind of give off a vibe like I've seen this guy before.
Well, maybe he's been in something else.
I want it to be true.
Right.
Because it is so unbelievable if it is true. Abducted in Plain Sight. All right. There you go. true crime. We'll put it in that category. It's not a pretty story, by the way. It's not. It's a horrible, horrible, terrible thing.
It is.
That have series of events that happen. But twice, Tony, twice.
Thank goodness she seems to be okay now.
She does. She seems like the most well-adjusted person to have gone through this years-long experience.
Yeah.
Right? Crazy stuff. Anyway. Moving on. AAF going to make payroll this week thanks to a $250 million
infusion. We can ask Josh Evans.
Of cash. Did you get your paycheck, right? Josh Evans, former Jaguar, now playing with the Orlando Apollo, is going to join us coming up here in just a few minutes. And we'll talk about his experience. What is he using? Is he using this as a springboard to get back in the National Football League like I imagine a lot of players are? You know, I look at Josh Evans. We've said this before, Tony. As a sixth-round pick, they got a lot of value out of Josh Evans, I thought, the Jacksonville Jaguars did. He wasn't some great world-beating all-pro, but you don't have to be when you're a sixth-round pick. He was a solid contributor, could play free and strong, was a good locker room guy, hard worker, always available, seemingly, right? I mean, he willing to play through injury, that kind of stuff. So we'll talk to Josh coming up about his experience. How many guys have played for Urban and Spurrier? Probably not that many, right?
No, yeah.
On any level. So we'll get to him to compare that experience as well. Question of the day, by the way, threw this little ditty together. We've been talking about Nick Foles and Antonio Brown and all these big-name potential acquisitions. Apparently Odell Beckham's a guy who's really on the trade block. The Patriots made a strong run at him. The 49ers are said to still be making a strong run at him. And there's a lot of rumor coming out of New Jersey that the Giants may be willing to deal Odell Beckham just a year after giving him a big money extension. So the question of the day presented by Bud White, what, if anything, would you be willing to trade to the New York Giants for wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. if you are the Jacksonville Jaguars? And we'll discuss that throughout the course of the program today as well. Chris Tripodi going to join us from draftanalyst.com in hour number two. We'll get his thought on the quarterback class and some other items with the NFL Combine coming up. It's going to be here before you know it, folks. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we are live here in 1010XL or at 1010XL World Headquarters. Jaguars today coming back with Josh Evans of the Orlando Apollos next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you, Jaguars, today. We've got a former Jaguar on the line. He's 2-0 now. His squad is in the Alliance of American Football. That would be the Orlando Apollos, and we're talking about former Gator, former Jaguar, and current Apollo, Josh Evans, joining us right now here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Josh, good morning. How you doing, man?
Hey, good morning. How's everything going, fellas?
Pretty good. Tell us, for you, congrats on getting off to a 2-0 start. Here in the AAF, could you, a year ago this time, could you have pictured yourself playing in a completely different league, trying to, I guess, put yourself in a position to get back on the NFL radar?
Not at all. I don't think I saw this coming. And honestly, I was kind of on edge with even joining this league, because you know with new leagues, you just never know how things turn out. You know, they don't really last long. But I gave it some time, and the opportunity presented itself with them definitely partnering with the NFL for it to be a great opportunity to try and get back in.
Is that what convinced you ultimately, is that it did feel like there's some partnership between this league and the NFL?
Yes, because I know with other contracts, like the Canadian League or Europe, where people playing overseas, once you lock into those contracts, that's pretty much it. You can't really get bumped up. You can't really sign with another team. Definitely. If you signed a 2-3 year deal, you're locked into that, and they have your rights. In this league, it's pretty much set up to where if you get a call during the season, you know, some guys might get a call week 5, you can shut it down. You know, that's it. They're partnering with them to where you pretty much out your contract and can go up. Kind of similar to like a D league in a sense, kind of with that same type of essence of being able to move and have the flexibility to go up and play in the league.
So, Josh, as you talk to your teammates, you find most guys are in your position, like, hey, they feel like they've got good football left in them, they still can contribute something in the right circumstance in the NFL, or are guys in it for, you know, just trying for one last hurrah? I mean, what is the mix like in the locker room in terms of players' intentions for joining the AAF?
Well, it's different for everybody. You know, I know my goal, and anybody who's been kind of in the league before, that's their goal. Everybody's goal is to play in the NFL. But there's also been guys who never had the opportunity to play in the NFL. So this is their first shot at playing any type of pro ball. And I would assume that those guys will have the same passion, the same dream to say, hey, I'm playing in this league to play in the NFL. But majority, yeah, that's all everybody talking about, you know, trying to play to get back in, trying to give it a shot to get back in and see where things can go. I think this league has a lot of potential to become something special over time, you know, if it stands and if things go well and go according to how it's been going the first 2 weeks. I think it'd be able to something to help a lot of guys out.
You obviously had the opportunity to play a lot of NFL football, Josh. Is this league what you thought it would be from a competitive standpoint?
It's actually pretty cool, man. You know, it was shocking. I'll be honest. It shocked me a little bit the first game. I wasn't expecting the type of crowd. You know, with a new league, even though we got a great head coach, Steve Spurrier, you know, who got a great following. People love Steve, the head ball coach. I wasn't expecting that type of fan base. I thought it would have been a little slower. I'm thinking a few thousand if people show up to kind of get their feet wet. But it's clear that people love football. I mean, we had about 20,000-25,000 on our first game. San Antonio had about 28,000. It had to have been close to about 40,000 at the game last week. That was a huge game we played against San Antonio. So it's like it's really picking up. A lot of people, you know, watch the game. A lot of people come out. You know, a lot of fans come out to the game. So Yeah, I mean, the fan base is there. People are interested. People are still asking questions with the league about and trying to figure out the new rules in this league. And I think it's really starting to get that feel for a highlight for people to kind of be interested. Definitely with the NFL being over right now, this is something that can use just some more football.
Talking here with former Gator, former Jaguar, and current Orlando Apollo, Josh Evans. Josh, Tony and I were talking about it this morning. Probably not that many guys out there that have had a taste of playing for Urban Meyer and Steve Spurrier. Obviously, two iconic coaches in Gator lore. Now you getting a chance to play for Spurrier in the pro ranks. How do you compare these guys? What do they have in common, and what is completely different about these two guys?
Well, you know what? I would say what both of them have in common is winning. You know what I mean? Both of those guys had great careers. They both believe in winning. They both believe in giving it all they have and perfection. You know, guys knowing what to do, when to do, and how to do it at the highest level. I would say they both got different philosophies. Urban Meyer, he got a different philosophy than Steve Spurrier, and vice versa. But both of those guys are great, man. They're amazing to play for. It's exciting to see where things are going to go, you know, with this team. And it was exciting when I played at Florida with Urban Meyer. You know, those guys just came off a national championship. And Steve Spurrier won a bunch of championships in his career as well. But they just got that same passion, and that's what I like. You know, they always say the fun is in winning is true, because it's never fun when you're losing. So just to be part of that organization and part of a group of coaches like that, it keeps you at a high level. It keeps you focused. It keeps you locked in to compete, and the ultimate goal is to win a championship and win week to week.
Along those same kind of lines, Josh, I'll add a name to the list. Steve Spurrier, Urban Meyer, Gus Bradley. Who has been your favorite to play for?
Okay, I see where we're going with this one. Good question. You know what? It's tough, man. Like, despite the record in Jacksonville, I must say Gus Bradley is a great person, a great coach, a great dad. I really enjoy playing for Gus. I mean, we struggle. Don't get me wrong. And it sucks, you know, whenever you're not winning. But that doesn't take away his personality. That doesn't take away how he coached. You know, he was a great person, a great coach. I never take that. As far as to play for, who I had enjoyed playing for, I'm just now playing for Steve Spurrier, so I'm just now getting to know him. So I can't really even put him in that category with only playing two games and just really getting a feel for him. So it definitely would come down to Urban Meyer and Gus Bradley, of coaches I played for. And, man, you put me in a tough spot right here.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Really, a really tough spot here.
There's no wrong answer here. You can say,
put it like this. I would say this. As far as from a team standpoint and things we've done and accomplished, I'm going to go with Urban Meyer. As far as the personality and being around this person and his energy, I'm going with Gus Bradley. Like, they both got different things that I like, different things that I would like. So, yeah, I mean, it's different. I would say I like Gus as a coach. I like Urban Meyer as a coach, but I think Gus was more – if I could explain it, I'm pretty sure people understand this too. Like, Gus is somebody who was a little bit more relatable. He was a little bit more down to earth. He wasn't really into, you know, what you had going on. I mean, everybody got treated the same. Everybody was well respected. Whereas in Urban Meyer, don't get me wrong, he respected you. He just was more of a earn your stripes type of guy. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? You come in and you got to prove yourself. You got to do this. Probably a little bit more arms open, so.
Yeah, look, nothing you just told us surprises us about either guy, by the way. Yeah. You know, we're just curious.
Okay, cool.
Good. It's all good. Hey, listen, forget the former coaches. What about a former teammate who's now a current teammate? Former Jacksonville Jaguar pass rusher Ryan Davis got injured this week. Right. We hope he's going to be fine. What are you hearing? What's the latest on Ryan down there?
I haven't got the latest. I'm not sure of this situation, but I do know that there was no broken bones and it was nothing major. That was the only thing I heard. But, man, that was probably the scariest thing. You know, I haven't really been in a lot of those situations to see a guy go down and can't get up. Definitely a former teammate, somebody I've been around his family. And, like I said, coming from Jacksonville and being in this league, man, it was difficult. It was emotional, and I'm praying for him. You know, just to even get the text to say that there was no broken bones and nothing major, that's a good first sign.
He's still got a lot of fans like you do here up in Jax, man. And so, you know, we're certainly hoping the best. Is that something, like, you're a young guy still, and I imagine you still feel pretty invincible when you're out there on the football field. I think you're 27 years old now, but do you have those moments? I mean, or is that something you have to block out as much as possible, trying to forget about the reality that on any given play, something catastrophic is capable of happening?
Oh, yeah, you're definitely aware of that. I mean, you just can't play like that. It's kind of like in your conscience a little bit to know anything is possible happening. But it's really trying to protect yourself. You know, it's really trying to put yourself in position to say, hey, if something do come up that way, make sure I'm taking the proper angle, the proper tackle. But the thing is, you just can't, during a game, I mean, those are live bullets. You can't protect yourself in certain areas to where you try to do everything to the book or textbook. But, you know, you're just playing fast, man. I don't think it's on people's mind during the game. I think it's more something you think about probably afterwards, or you think, or you might get hit at certain plays and say, thank God I landed this way, or I didn't, you know, hurt myself. But it's really something you can't prevent. You really can't prevent how somebody hit you, or how you hit somebody, or how you land in this league. There's 100% chance you're going to get hurt. You know, and that's kind of the pro and con about football. You know, there's not one person on this team who hasn't experienced some sort of injury, whether it was a big injury, smaller injury. You're going to get hurt at some point. It's just how you manage that injury, how you bounce back, and how your body feel after that.
Josh, last time we talked to you, we had you in studio a few months ago, and the AAF wasn't something that was on your radar. What do you have going on besides football right now, bud?
Oh, yeah, man. I opened up a gym, Level Up Fitness, down by the beach in July, last July. And I also have a mobile lounge here in Jacksonville. That's doing pretty well, and pretty much just getting my hands in a few other things and opportunities outside of all. I've been looking into some real estate, some properties here in Jacksonville, and also back in my hometown in New Jersey, because we all know it's about, you know, it's not so much about the NFL, which is great to do, don't get me wrong, it's a great opportunity, but it's also what you do outside. That is also about what you do in the community. I just started my foundation, 26 Reasons, last year as well, where I'd be giving back the 26K. We had a pretty big drive for them on Christmas where we donated so many gifts. I mean, it was thousands of gifts we gave out to the kids at the local schools here in Jacksonville. So, you know, just trying to better myself and be more committed to helping others and giving back. That's just always been my passion. Trying to do more, that's all.
Hey, we've always appreciated what you've done here, Josh, in the community. And if there's anything we here at Jaguars Today or 1010XL can do to help support that endeavor, you always can let us know, and we'll be happy to promote whatever you've got going on in that regard, man. 2 weeks in, give folks out there maybe who haven't tested out the AAF. Well, I mean, we're not that far away. Memphis coming to town this weekend. Give us the sales pitch. Why should folks make that short drive down there and check out the Apollos?
Well, first of all, you know, this league is – it's great, you know, it's great we're giving guys, once again, an opportunity. But there's also a lot of guys who got some experience in this league, too. It's not just a league with guys who never played. I mean, we got multiple guys on this team who played 4 or 5 years, you know, in a league and, you know, went through injuries or dealt with something I dealt with, you know, having a quad injury and dealt with certain things. And there have also been a few college stars with guys, college stars, that really got the opportunity. So it's exciting to see what happened next. That's kind of what this league is about. Like, where is this guy going to next? You know, after he dominates this league, after he, you know, has a great season, what's going to happen after that? So we're just anticipating what can possibly happen. And also, it's football. I mean, America's greatest sport. Why wouldn't you want to watch more football? I mean, we had more views than the Rockets game, you know, the first game. And that was pretty exciting to see that happen. But it's definitely something. I mean, if you're a football fanatic, you love this game. It's great energy. It's a faster-paced game. It's competitive. There's guys still competing at the highest level. Our quarterback, for example, just broke the Alliance record with throwing for 390-something yards. I mean, it's crazy. Another thing, we play more snaps than the NFL. I mean, we played 90-something snaps on defense. I don't think I've ever played those many snaps ever, man. But it's just a lot of ball, man. There's a lot of guys competing at the highest level. And I think if it's something you like, you tuned in, come check us out this Saturday night.
All right, well. Hopefully the folks backing this league financially have their ducks in a row now that they got a $250 million infusion apparently last week in there to help you guys make payroll. So I hope the checks keep cashing and clearing for you as long as that happens, Josh. We're going to look forward to seeing you many Saturdays and hopefully Sundays to come in the future, man. Still a young guy. We always appreciated you here in Jacks and just wanted to check in. So thanks for the time today. Continued success with the Apollos and the early part of the season here. And we'll look out for all your charitable endeavors here on the First Coast as well.
Appreciate it, guys. I really do.
You got it, buddy. Josh Evans, former Jaguar, and, of course, former Gator as well, now a member of the Orlando Apollos, here with us on Jaguars Today. Tone, as long as the check's clear, they're going to be just fine. The report that came out this morning said that Carolina Hurricanes owner Tom Dundon of the NHL put $250 million into the league last week in order to save it from imploding after 1 week they were not going to be able to make payroll across the league. That doesn't bode well,
I don't think.
I mean, but man, wouldn't it be nice just to have $250 million to dump into a floundering league after the first week? You better have some serious faith in the vision of where that thing is going. And otherwise, you're just tossing away $250 million bills right there. But Josh Evans and the team off to a good start down in Orlando. No surprise. Spurrier. Probably a little more fun to play for, I imagine, than Urban is.
Probably.
He can be intense, but I think you probably have more laughs, with Steve Spurrier. And there you go. Hard for Gus Bradley to compete anywhere other than the personality category. Yes. But he slays everybody in that category. All right, we'll come back. Tony and I will get into some of our thoughts on Odell Beckham Jr. Maybe unrealistic, but he is out there. He seems to be available if you're willing to pay the right price, whatever that happens to be. Reports were that the Patriots made a strong move to get him last year. The 49ers are still apparently trying to lure him to San Francisco. I don't know how that sits with Mr. Big Chest, if he's going to take his spot out there in the Bay Area, but we'll discuss that when we come back. It's our question of the day. What, if anything, would you be willing to give up from the Jags to acquire the services of Odell Beckham Jr. from the New York Giants? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Hey, what's up? This is Tiki Barber, former New York Giant, and now Don in Kinky Boots on Broadway. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Looking at Odell Beckham's contract numbers over at SpotTrack.com, Tony.
Yeah, which, I mean, he signed that big deal last year.
Big deal, right? I mean, honestly, you know, we're not trying to drum up a trade market for Odell Beckham. There are just stories out there that Odell Beckham, maybe it's possible to have Odell Beckham. You could get him for the right offer. I saw one person speculate. They said San Fran is still kind of hot on the trail, and there was speculation that the number two overall pick would be too high of a price to pay. So you could possibly say, send the number two overall pick from San Fran to the New York Giants and get Odell Beckham and, say, a mid-round pick in return.
Mm-hmm.
So I started thinking, you know, I mean, if you haven't gotten a quarterback, but what if you're in a position where you only really love one quarterback and you just can't get there? Right, wherever there is that it is to pay the price to get him. You know, there's some reports that Oakland loves Kyler Murray. Oakland is mentioned as a possible trade-up destination for the Jacksonville Jaguars to get ahead of the New York Giants. Well, if they love Kyler Murray, a quarterback, chances are they're not going to take the chance on missing out on it.
No.
What if you try and you can't position yourself to get the quarterback you want? I don't think you just take the quarterback you don't want at 7 just because he's a quarterback. Certainly, if you sign Nick Foles, you're going to eat up a big chunk of cap space. There's no question about it. But you would also have to earmark the 7th overall pick to go find your next quarterback. I would be willing to include the 7th overall pick in a deal for Odell Beckham Jr.
I would, too.
I mean, he's that good, and he's young enough. He's only going to be 26 this football season.
Yep.
And the dead cap hit, this is the thing that really surprises me, that the Giants would even entertain this. But you hear the reporting out of that area from some of the local Giant reporters that say, they're at least open to hearing conversation on this or to engaging in conversation on this. $35 million dead cap hit this year if Odell's not on the team. But I guess you look at it that he would cost him $21 million against the cap if he's on the team, right? So it's another $14 million in dead cap. Maybe you can split that if you designate the transaction as post-June 1st. I'm not sure how that would work as far as the trade goes. But looking at what you're going to take on, let's say it's a $21 million cap hit. I don't know if the Jags could afford it, A, honestly. Put it this way. I don't know if they could afford it and get Nick Foles at the same time. Now, you may say it's worth it to get Odell Beckham Jr. We were talking the other day about Nick Foles versus Antonio Brown. If the price were the same, acknowledging that the price likely would be more for Antonio Brown, although he's making it harder and harder for Pittsburgh to get a first-round pick back for him. You know, in the scenario we talked about the other day, we're thinking about one of those third-round picks maybe being the price if Nick Foles was franchised by the Philadelphia Eagles. It would cost you more in pick compensation to get Odell Beckham Jr. But if you want a true top-of-the-depth-chart, game-changing wide receiver that's going to make any quarterback he plays with better, that's who Odell Beckham Jr. is. And as we've talked about, he's only 26 years old. He would be under contract through his age 30 season. You'd have him locked up for the next 5 years. It's not a bad – to me, it's not a bad investment to make. And honestly, his cap figures get more manageable as the contract goes on.
They do.
The way it was loaded, you know. So the problem is finding the space early on to take him on initially. Would you – I don't know. All these things don't happen at the same time. So you can't sit here and say – well, I know we're going to get Nick Foles. I know we're not going to get Nick Foles. And I know we're going to get Dwayne Haskins.
We have no idea.
We don't know, right? And that's a big complicating issue in all this. But if it came out in the end that, let's say you signed a Tyrod Taylor type, right? And you traded, let's say you're able to trade your first-round pick and you got Odell Beckham and the Giants' fourth-round pick back because they don't have a third-round pick this year. Giants would then have back-to-back picks at the top of the draft. Would you be okay riding it out for a year and then dipping back into the quarterback waters in 2020? Or would you be okay in that scenario maybe if you took a Will Greer or a Daniel Jones if he lasts in the second round? I mean, what level of quarterback addition would you have to even make you entertain seriously the acquisition of Odell Beckham Jr.?
Well, it would depend on, how you feel about those other guys that might be available to you in the second or third round. There's a reason they're going to be available to you in the second or third round. Obviously, I think I'd still be open to the idea of investing in one of those guys with, your second or third round pick, and that wouldn't precede me from dipping back in 2020, depending on where my football team is.
Right.
In 2020, there's no guarantee. I mean, that's kind of why, when they've had opportunities, when they've been picking in the top 10 and have just punted at a quarterback, basically, when they've had these opportunities and they're paying the price for it right now, they're back in that kind of position. Who knows? It may be a draft where you feel like there's one franchise quarterback and picking seventh. Odds are, if you're picking seventh and there's one franchise quarterback, you're not going to get him. That's just the way that it works in the NFL draft. So I'd be fine with going that direction with it. I would rather have Dwayne Haskins than any of these plans. That would be my ultimate goal, but I'm not saying it. I don't know how realistic it is. Like saying I want Dwayne Haskins, you can want him all you want. Other teams are allowed to want him too, and there are other teams that may be in a better position that may want Dwayne Haskins. They're in a better position to get Dwayne Haskins
or
than you
are willing to pay more than you're willing to pay.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing with Dwayne. I'm with you, but like we just said a minute ago, you can't know.
You don't know.
If you're going to be able to get Haskins. If you have the number one pick in the draft, that's the only way you can know what your fortunes are going to be. And you could sit there and we started doing the math on this the other day. It could be, let's say, the seventh overall pick, your second rounder, third rounder, one of the third rounders, and then a second next year. That's not unreasonable to think you're going to have to pay that much, maybe even more, to move up to get Dwayne Haskins in this draft. So, and you can't do it ahead of time. You can't know ahead of time unless you're moving all the way to the number one pick. And if you're moving to number one, it's going to cost you even more than that.
Yep.
It's going to cost you multiple first-round picks. It might cost you multiple first-round picks anyway. And there may be people out there that say, well, it'd be worth it if you're getting your franchise quarterback. Okay, but if the Giants then are willing to give the same package and they're picking ahead of you, why wouldn't the team trading back want to only slide back to 6 as opposed to 7?
Correct.
Now, that's, we don't know what the Giants would be willing to pay in a scenario like that. I just look at it this way. Let's say no matter what you do in free agency at quarterback, there's a chance when you get to the 7th pick in the draft that a couple of scenarios could have taken place. Either A, you settled your position with a guy like Nick Foles, and you feel like, okay, we've got Nick Foles for the next 3 to 4 years. That's our guy. We don't need to draft a quarterback. You know, if the opportunity arises, fine, later on in the draft. Maybe, as has been speculated recently, the Oakland Raiders are infatuated with Kyler Murray. Maybe you trade for Derek Carr, and it costs you something less than a first-round pick, hopefully, if you go that direction. Same scenario. You're not looking to draft a quarterback there. Or maybe you get to the 7th pick in the draft, and as we've just laid it out, maybe you only love Haskins. That's the only guy you think is worth anywhere near a top 10 pick at the quarterback position, and you simply are not in position to get him. Well, for a number of reasons, you may be looking at a different position other than quarterback at 7. And one of those positions to me is wide receiver. I don't know if there's a wide receiver worthy of that selection, but I'll put it this way. You want to get T.J. Hockenson at tight end and bring in an unproven rookie with the 7th overall pick at that spot, have the wide receiver core you have, or invest that 7th overall pick in a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. That's why, to me, it's attractive, because you know what you're getting. You're getting
absolutely
Hall of Fame-level talent in Odell Beckham Jr. You're getting probably the most talented wide receiver, with no offense to Jimmy Smith, that would ever put on a Jaguar uniform, just based on what I've seen Odell Beckham Jr. be able to do. Put it this way, at least he'd be in Jimmy's category as being, you'd finally have a guy you could say, oh, this might be the best wide receiver this team has ever had on their roster. You still have to have someone to get him the ball. I understand that. We can't know who that someone is going to be. I'm just willing, if they felt like they had the money to do it. And that's another big factor in this whole thing. But I do think you could play a little salary cap magic and move things around and have, you know, if you have a contract with Nick Foles, you could structure it in a way that if you're taking a huge hit on Beckham this year and you want to spread Foles out, you can do that. I think there are ways to manipulate the salary cap to make it work. I don't think it'd be an easy squeeze necessarily, but I think you could restructure a few deals, cut some dead weight, and make it happen. It doesn't strike me as a Jaguar-type move.
No.
But then when you hear teams like, you know, here are the Patriots, and I get it. Maybe you go to the Patriots, and they've got the kind of culture where they can take anything in and any kind of big personality, but what are they about but chasing championships at this point? They're willing to go after a guy like Odell Beckham Jr.
Absolutely, yeah.
Doesn't mean the Patriots are going to make the right move every single time, Tony. I just feel like, man, when a talent this young in his prime is potentially available, you at least have to sit up and take notice. If you're this football team.
No, I'm right there with you. And that's the same thing we were talking about with Antonio, right? Like, it was the same kind of thing. If Antonio Brown's available, I would be willing to consider it. If Odell Beckham is available, I would consider it even more. Like, he is 26. The contract, look, he's going to get paid big money. But if you can get through the first year of it, basically it becomes more manageable, as you said, throughout the rest of the contract. Yeah,
he's not cheap going forward, but like his cap hit
this
year
cheap, right.
is $21 million. It might not even be that high for the Jags, because his base salary this year is $16.7 million, which is in line with what Sammy Watkins and Allen Robinson got last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really not all that far off the mark. And then his base salary over the next few years goes down to $14.5 million, $13.7 million. Right, that's manageable for a guy of his talent. Plus, you're going to have some roster and workout bonuses, but his cap hit is going to be below $20 million for the length of his contract beyond 2019. Like you said, if you can bite the bullet on 2019 and make it happen. I think it's highly unlikely it does happen, but I wouldn't be all that upset if they gave up the 7th overall pick, even if they just got Odell Beckham straight up for it. I don't think that's a bad return on your investment. Put it this way. If you had $100 million in cap space like the Colts or the Jets, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Me too.
I would do it in a heartbeat without getting anything back other than Beckham. If I could get a mid-round pick back with him for the 7th overall, you know, there's no guarantees in that. And give the Giants a chance to start over at quarterback and at wide receiver or whatever else they wanted to do with the sixth and seventh overall picks back-to-back and freeing themselves of a little cap space themselves, I think it's something at least you got to kick the tires on and see if it's doable. Chris Tripodi is going to join us from DraftAnalyst.com coming up in about 25 minutes, and we'll weigh in on this year's quarterback class with him, get his opinions on that and some other issues surrounding the 2019 NFL Draft. But coming up next, the state in football and the Roland Reich roll around the National Football League. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, I got a trio of semi-famous birthdays for this date in football history. February 19th, go back to 1942. Happy 77th to Paul Krause. He was the defensive back with the Washington Redskins and Minnesota Vikings for a number of years, enough to make 8 Pro Bowls. He was 3-time first-team All-Pro and inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1998. Happy 39th to Dwight Freeney. Terrorized the Jags for a good long time. Was the 11th pick in 2002 by the Indianapolis Colts in the NFL draft. He made 7 Pro Bowls, 3-time first-team All-Pro. He's 18th all-time, Dwight Freeney is, with 125.5 sacks. Wouldn't you have thought higher on the list? Based on the fact that, you know, sacks weren't even an official stat before, like, 1981.
Yeah.
Would have thought Freeney would have been higher than 18th on the list. And happy birthday to a guy we saw in Atlanta a few weeks ago. Always good to run into Kirk Morrison, former Jaguars, done very well for himself in broadcasting. Mm-hmm. Started all 16 games for the Jags in 2010, his only season in Jacksonville. Ended up playing a couple more years beyond that. Kirk Morrison, 37 years old today, born on this date in 1982. That is this date in football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing, where quality and experience count.
Oklahoma wide receiver Marquise Brown is projected by some to be the top wideout selected in April's draft. Teams that were hoping to get a look at Brown will not be able to see him work out before the draft after he underwent surgery for a Lisfranc injury this week that will keep him out of both the combine and his pro day workouts. Brown and his representatives say that he will be ready to go for training camp with whichever team selects him. What that may do to his draft stock, we will all see. At the Davey O'Brien Awards banquet yesterday, Kyler Murray said that he will be attending the NFL Combine, but that he has not decided yet whether or not he will be participating in the workout. So we don't know if we'll be able to see Kyler Murray throw at the NFL Combine. That decision will be in the next couple of weeks as well, obviously. The Dallas Cowboys have declined the option on wide receiver Terrence Williams, which will make him a free agent. The window for teams to use the franchise and transition tags on players opens today. It'll stay open through March 5th. Here in Jacksonville, there will be a bunch of eyes on Philadelphia over the next 3 weeks to see if they do indeed use the franchise tag on quarterback Nick Foles. Other players that are expected to be considered for some kind of tag include Le'Veon Bell, with a potential transition tag in Pittsburgh, defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence in Dallas, defensive end slash linebacker Jadeveon Clowney in Houston, and just what his designation will be interesting. Defensive end Dee Ford in Kansas City, defensive end Frank Clark in Seattle, defensive tackle Grady Jarrett in Atlanta, safety Landon Collins with the New York Giants, offensive tackle Donovan Smith in Atlanta, kicker Robbie Gould in San Francisco, and kicker Steven Gostkowski in New England. For those of you like me that have enjoyed the first couple of weeks of the AAF, I hope you aren't getting too attached to the new football league. The AAF needed Carolina Hurricanes owner Tom Dundon to step in and give the league $250 million this week. That $250 million will help cover the league's payroll for week two, which was reportedly an issue for the fledgling league, and will earn Dundon the role of league chairman. So 2 weeks in, they didn't have enough money to pay the players. So how long do you expect a league like that to realistically last? We'll see if it can get through the whole 10 weeks in the two-week playoff in year one, although I am doubtful.
Hey, Mr. Dundon, all right, who, by the way, I'm sure in the Charlotte area he's well-known. Maybe he's greatly known in hockey circles. Never heard of the guy before. As far as I'm concerned, this is the most high-profile thing he's ever done, and he owns an NHL franchise, but to give $250 million to bail out the AAF, I mean, hope that title of chairman means something to you, right? I mean, if you're running out of cash to meet payroll in week two, how confident are you that that $250 million investment is ever going to show you a profit? Ah, man, good luck.
It don't matter.
Don't matter? Jalen doesn't care. Jalen doesn't care. He's still laughing at Josh Allen, who's on Twitter, asking, "Hey, Ramsey, am I still trash The answer, yes.
It's a little disrespectful.
Well, Jalen tweeting out as Big Cat Country retweeted the post that Josh Allen had put there. He apparently signed somebody's photo of him when he was flexing. You know, signed his name, said, "Hey, Ramsey, am I still trash? Hashtag Bills Mafia." Ramsey replied, "LOL, thank you for answering for me, Big Cat Country. Hashtag yes. TF he thought." The blank he thought. Like, I guess he's saying, what the heck is he thinking in a different kind of way?
I guess so.
I guess that's, although there's no H for heck in there, but you get the idea.
Yeah, no.
Nonetheless, so there you have. Manuel apparently liked that one. All right, Tone. Top 10 quarterbacks is by David Carr. And surprised Derek is at the top of the list.
But yeah.
10 quarterbacks worth pursuing via trade, free agency, of the NFL draft. He ranks the top 10.
Oh, what's he gave us?
I think he's a trash evaluator because he keeps putting his brother in the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL.
He does.
But he's got Nick Foles number 1. This is this top guy's the target, period. Okay? Nick Foles number 1. All right. Give him probably a thumbs up on that one. You know, for at least for 2019 impact, I would agree with that. Then he goes Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, my goodness.
Goes right to Teddy over the draft class. That one, I'm going to say, based on what's coming, I'm going to say I'll give him a pass on that one because Teddy's 26. We're going to convince ourselves for the purpose of this conversation that Teddy Bridgewater has shown you something that indicates he's going to be a high-level quarterback in the NFL. And you're going to convince yourself that 3 years watching from the sidelines
and
rehab room is going to—
I'm convincing myself.
I'm convincing you. Because
numbers, do I sound convinced?
Now, keep in
based
mind.
Based on the audible groan?
No, but it's going to get worse, okay?
Is
because
it? Where the heck is Dwayne Haskins?
Well, we haven't gotten there yet, okay? The best quarterbacks, these are 10 quarterbacks worth pursuing. Number 1, Nick Foles. Number 2, Teddy Bridgewater. Number 3, any guesses based on where this is headed?
Well, apparently it's not
you know
Dwayne
it ain't
going
to be Haskins. So, any guess as to who you might want to pursue?
What the heck? Like, I don't.
It got to be his brother.
It's not his brother.
His brother's not like available.
Right,
available.
Not available in that sense. Like, although he may become available in the right circumstances, but no, it's.
Can I get like free agent or like any kind of clue as to how he's available?
Currently rostered in the NFL.
He said Case Keenum did.
Case Keenum.
It's my quarterback.
That
Case
is so stupid.
Keenum.
Oh my goodness.
Case Keenum.
He thinks that. Case Keenum is more worthwhile to invest in than Dwayne Haskins.
Apparently so. Said he struggled without much help in his first year with the Broncos.
Oh, did he?
He had plenty of help until they got hurt.
And he
had Demaryius Thomas
away.
And Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah. What are you talking
My
about?
My goodness. Number 4 is Dwayne Haskins.
Oh, thank goodness.
Okay. Number 5. Any guess on number 5?
No.
RG3.
Oh.
This guy. Tyrod's number 6. Then he goes Kyler Murray. Then he goes Josh McCown over every other rookie quarterback out there. Then he goes Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then he goes Daniel Jones at number 10. So,
oh, my goodness.
David Carr.
Does he think the draft class is, like, coming for his brother's job? Is that the thing?
Maybe it is, right?
You know?
Maybe it is. Like, hey, it's not worth investing in these guys over here, Gruden. Although they, you know, I read that yesterday. I can't remember the source that they're enamored with Kyler Murray in Oakland. And then the speculation was maybe they turn around and trade Derek Carr to a team like Jacksonville. Well, I'm not paying for your leftovers. I'm not, put it this way, I'm not paying top dollar for your leftovers.
Right.
Would you take Derek Carr if he cost you a third-round pick to bring on board? Let's say they were trying to cut cap, right, trying to clear some cap space. Derek Carr becomes available. Would you take him? For a third-round selection. Let's say you're second of your two third. I'm making this as attractive as I possibly can within reason.
I'd have to think about it, but probably.
Derek Carr, let's see. Schedule this year. Cap details. His cap hit this year is $4 million more than Odell Beckham's is. Although.
QBs get paid.
His salary is only $7.4 million. No, that was last year. I'm sorry. Salary bumps up to $19.9 this year. So is it that much of a discount over Nick Foles? Who would you rather have, Nick Foles or Derek Carr, all else being equal? If the price were the same, if the salary were the same, who'd you rather have? So would I. So, again, not too many compelling reasons to invest a whole lot in Derek Carr then, if that's the case. You could save about $5 million, it looks like, potentially, against what you figure Nick Foles' contract is going to average. But even then, you can't possibly be sure. And you'd be committed to Carr. At least you'd have him under contract for the next four seasons. So, just a thought that's out there. Pete Prisco put out his top 30 free agent ranking list. We'll take a peek at that before we get out of here today. But Chris Tripodi going to join us coming up next from DraftAnalyst.com. That's Tony Pauline's network. He does the draft podcast on there with Tony. Just thought we'd get a different set of eyes on the equation. And so we'll get into that. The NFL draft with Chris coming up next here on the program, talking about the Jags, what they may do, what positions are strong, what are weak, what does he think of this quarterback class, how do Haskins and Murray stack up with the quarterbacks that were first-rounders in 2018, for instance. All that and more coming your way next. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, it's Jaguars Today right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, joining us now here on Jaguars Today, time to talk a little more NFL draft. And we have great friends over at DraftAnalyst.com. Tony Pauline joins us quite frequently on this program. This morning we've got Chris Tripodi, who's worked with Tony for about a decade. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Always good to get another set of eyes, another set of opinions on some of these players as we try to figure out what's going to happen with the offseason, the NFL draft. And here we are, the Jacksonville Jaguars, a year after giving Blake Bortles a three-year contract extension, looking like they're firmly in the camp of moving on. Chris, is this the year to be needing a quarterback to turn your franchise around?
Honestly, it's really not. Last year was that year. Obviously had four really good guys at the top, Lamar Jackson as well, a guy who went in the first round. Last year was the year to need it. There are intriguing guys this year. I do like Dwayne Haskins, and I also like Kyler Murray. Those would be my top two in the class, and I'd say the only two that are probably going to threaten to go high in the first round. I know we've heard some rumors about Drew Lock to Denver. Obviously don't know what the trade for Joe Flacco that the Broncos just pulled off is going to do to those rumors. But for me, it's Haskins and Murray at the top.
All right, take those two in particular, and you don't have to get into every nuance of their game, but just in general, how do they stack up against the 2018 first-round quarterback class?
Oh, well, I would probably throw Haskins kind of in the middle of that mix. My top guy last year was Josh Rosen. Obviously, he did not have a great rookie season in Arizona. You can talk as much as you want about the situation and about a lot of the things that were happening around him. First-year coach, didn't make it past one season in the desert. But obviously, Rosen had his struggles. Sam Darnold showed a lot of promise towards the end of the season, and Baker Mayfield was in the running for the rookie of the year as well. I would probably throw Haskins behind those three guys if we're talking kind of the best quarterbacks from the past 2 years. I was higher on Josh Allen than a lot of people were last year. Plenty of people were very down on him. A lot of people, including most of the league, was actually very high on him. I like Josh Allen. I understood the traits that he had, but there were inconsistencies on college tape. I don't see quite as many inconsistencies with Dwayne Haskins. Now, he's a guy, despite what Stephen A. Smith may tell you, he's a thrower before he's a runner. He's the kind of guy that he's going to threaten every area of the field. He throws a good anticipation. He's just a solid quarterback. He's, in a lot of ways, the antithesis of what you guys have seen over the past couple of years with Blake Bortles, who is more of a reactionary thrower, has good athleticism to escape the pocket, make plays with his feet when things break down beforehand. Whereas Kyler Murray, obviously, he's a tremendous athlete, a two-sport player, was obviously drafted in the first round by the A's in the MLB draft this past year. So he's just a stud athlete, but he's also got a great arm. The height is certainly an issue. Don't know if that's going to be an issue for the Jags in terms of whether they prefer Haskins over Kyler Murray. But if Kyler Murray were 6 feet tall, people would not be questioning him like they are now because he's barely 5'10".
Right. Well, we saw it with 6 foot tall Baker Mayfield last year. How much does that help NFL decision makers at least lean towards Murray a little bit? I know 2 inches can be a big difference, but Murray played in the same system at the same school, did exceedingly well, didn't have any problem with batted passes, played behind a massive offensive line. Are NFL decision makers coming around to that stature of quarterback, although maybe not frequently, but with a guy that's shown obvious top-end potential like Kyler Murray has?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Kyler Murray is the exception to the rule. You don't see 5'10 guys even being considered this highly in the draft. So I think that does kind of show how far the league has come in recognizing that there are shorter quarterbacks that can have success. Yes, you may have to insulate them a little bit. If you look at, you know, an obvious example in Seattle with Russell Wilson, who shares a lot of similarities to Murray from a lack of height, a cannon arm, real good athleticism. Wilson is a guy who gets sacked a lot. And a lot of that is because he's not going to take a 3 to 5 step drop and be able to hit quick slant passes without a window opening up in between the offensive linemen. Now, defenses can scheme against that. They can make him drop further. It allows the edge rushers to kind of get around tackles, make some plays. So you'll notice Wilson getting sacked a decent amount. Obviously, Seattle hasn't had the greatest offensive line over the past couple of years, which also contributes to that. But I think that's kind of something that people don't look at when they think of quarterback height is this guy may have to drop deeper in the pocket. He may have to take a few steps back. And while that's not an issue with arm strength when it comes to a guy like Wilson or a guy like Murray, it could be an issue when it comes to pass protection.
Chris Tripodi here with us from DraftAnalyst.com. Chris, beyond the top two guys, even if they're not worthy of, let's say, being top 10 selections, are any of these other guys, including Drew Lock, in this class, guys that you think would develop potentially into franchise quarterbacks?
I mean, I always think there's a chance for guys like this to develop. Guys like a Drew Lock, you can mention a Daniel Jones in there. Will Greer is a popular name. Personally, a guy that I like probably more than the average is Jarrett Stidham out of Auburn. Now, he had a bad 2018 season, really regressed from what he did in 2017, but I'm sure you've heard this before. He wasn't really a great fit in the Auburn offense. He's more of a pro-style quarterback. He showed that at the Senior Bowl. He was really able to make throws to the sideline. He had more zip on his passes than a lot of the other quarterbacks there. Drew Lock does have a very strong arm, but can be inconsistent in every way. So for me, I like Jarrett Stidham. He's going to be more of a third-round guy. He probably doesn't even sneak into the second round. Guys like Jones, Lock, Greer, they're going to go ahead of Jarrett Stidham. I like him as a kind of guy if you miss out on the first-day quarterbacks, you don't want to invest a high second-round pick in a quarterback, you can get a guy like Stidham, and he does actually have starter potential.
All right, Chris, let's move off the QBs because we really can't know what the Jags' needs are going to be going into this draft. Let's say they sign Nick Foles somehow, either through a trade with Philadelphia or in straight free agency if he doesn't get franchise tag, and they're not looking for a quarterback. They're going to need help for Foles. They're going to need skill position guys that can catch a football, wide receivers and tight ends. Starting at wide receiver, how good is this class overall at wide receiver?
This class isn't that bad. There are a lot of very good wide receivers in this class. There is not that alpha number one receiver that you think is going to develop into, say, a top 12 to 15 NFL receiver. There's not that guy in this class. Now, some people may talk about DK Metcalf. Obviously, that picture came out on social media last week
right.
That went viral of him just, you know, looking completely ripped in a workout without a shirt on. He's a physical freak. He has really good speed. He's going to test extremely well for a guy who's going to weigh in around 225, 230 pounds, probably something in that range. He's going to test out extremely well. If you watch his tape, he's a big play waiting to happen, but I want to see more consistency from him. And frankly, when he goes to the combine, what I want to see from him is how he does in the 10-yard split, the 20-yard split, the three cone, the agility drills, the acceleration drills. We know he's going to run really well in the 40, but in the end, how often do you have wide receivers running 40 and 50 yards down the field in a straight line? It happens, but it's not something that happens play in and play out. And that kind of consistency is what you want to see from a guy like Metcalf, which is actually why I like A.J. Brown, his teammate from Ole Miss, as the top receiver in this draft. I wouldn't say he's worthy of the Jags pick in round one at number 7. I would probably go with a defensive player, maybe a pass rusher, to kind of give some help to Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue on the edge. If I were not trading down and I was Jacksonville, I don't quite think A.J. Brown is worthy of that pick. But if you want to look at the tight end class, it's actually kind of interesting because there are 3 bona fide first-round tight end prospects. 2 of them come from Iowa, T.J. Hockenson and Noah Fant. Personally, I like T.J. Hockenson better. I don't know if that's a hot take. I know there are a lot of people who also like Hockenson. Noah Fant's the guy that gets a lot of attention. But Hockenson outplayed him this season, and he's really seen his draft profile grow. I've seen him talked about as a top 10 pick in some circles. It wouldn't totally surprise me, and that honestly lands him squarely on the Jags' radar at number seven or after a slight trade back if they do decide they don't want to be in the quarterback market.
Yeah, Hockenson appears from all the pundits' analysis, yours included, that he's more the all-around tight end, which you would think would be more appealing to the Jags. We want to make sure they have a strong running game. I don't think they are just interested in a kind of finesse move tight end guy at this point in time, certainly not that high in the draft. Chris Tripodi with DraftAnalyst.com here for a couple more minutes. Chris, you mentioned what you'd be looking for from a guy like DK Metcalf when you go to the combine. In general, for folks who are sitting home trying to scout on NFL Network and watch and try to figure out whether it's the Jaguars or any other team, whoever their favorite team is, trying to figure out if these prospects are going to be good investments, what are some of the drills that you are looking most at? What are the important things that you're really focusing in on when that week in Indianapolis takes place?
I love to watch receivers in the gauntlet drill personally because they don't have time to think. All you're judging and all you're watching is them reacting to footballs shot at them from 10, 15 feet away from those jug machines. They have to go off their body to make catches. So you see if they have strong hands. You see if they have soft hands. You see the guys that might have tendencies to double catch some balls. You'll see guys who are more guys who are going to trap the ball against their chest or trap it against their body, which obviously we've seen at the NFL level. Those guys tend to have some trouble winning in contested situations, avoiding drops. So I really like watching receivers in the gauntlet drill to see how natural they are reacting to the ball rather than having time to think about a ball coming to them in the air and their plan of attack in that situation.
Just out of curiosity, if a team doesn't find themselves in the right position to take the quarterback that they love this year, how much more do you like the quarterback class of 2020, presuming that all the eligible QBs come out?
If all the eligible QBs come out next season, I can definitely say that I would like Justin Herbert and I would like Tua Tagovailoa better than either of the top quarterbacks in this year's class. Jake Fromm from Georgia is also a guy who's under discussion to be one of the top picks in 2020. I want to see a little more from Fromm coming up next season. I want to see him take another step forward, whereas I feel like Tua has obviously already taken that step. We know what Tua Tagovailoa is. Justin Herbert probably would have been the first guy to go in this year's class, even though he's a bit raw. There are times when you just want to see more from him. You want to see him make the plays when the game's on the line. He has all the talent in the world. There are some questions. We've actually talked about this on our podcast, that he's kind of an introvert, and people don't necessarily move towards those guys at quarterback. If you remember a couple years ago with Marcus Mariota, a lot of people were worried about his demeanor, about how he wasn't, you know, an alpha or whatever you want to call it. And Mariota has certainly had mixed results, as you guys have seen playing him a couple times a season over the past few years. That's one of the questions with Herbert. You want to see him kind of take the bull by the horns next year and really step forward. If he's able to do that, then I'm definitely going to like both him and Tua better than anybody in this year's class.
All right, Chris Tripodi, who, by the way, is the host of the Draft Analyst podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. You can find Chris online, as we said, at DraftAnalyst.com, but also on his Twitter feed at his name, Chris Tripodi, T-R-I-P-O-D-I, just like it sounds, and works there with Tony Pauline at DraftAnalyst.com. Chris, it's that time of year. We'll be calling on you guys quite a bit. Appreciate the insight today. Enjoy your time up in Indianapolis. I'm sure we'll have you on post-combine to see what guys lived up to and which guys failed to live up to your own expectations.
Sounds great, Mike. Thanks for having me, and always good to chat some draft with you guys.
You got it, buddy. Chris Tripodi, DraftAnalyst.com. We'll take a quick timeout. Back with more Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Jerry Kramer, Hall of Famer Jerry Kramer. Has a nice ring, doesn't it? And you are listening to Jaguars today on 1010XL.
Only problem with hearing that from Jerry Kramer, I want a blimpy. Where's my blimpy? I tell you what, I'm not saying they're the greatest sub in history. They do have the softest bread of any sandwich sub-making outfit that I find. Jerry Kramer's a blimpy.
He is rep. A blimpy guy.
He's a blimpy guy. Tone, as we started out the program today, in case anyone missed it, definitely check out Abducted in Plain Sight on Netflix so we can spoil the hell out of it next week. All right, we're trying to give you a few days because you won't just not believe what goes on in that documentary.
I'm definitely going to check that out.
You have to, E.T. I'm telling you. We spoiled a few things for E.T., like behind the scenes, but trust me, there's plenty more. Your jaw will be on the floor. You'll be like, there's no way this is real. This cannot be real. But it is apparently real. So check
it's
that
real.
Out. What else is real is, let's see, Jags yesterday doing some business, of course, as they exercised team options for Calais Campbell. Yay. Cody Davis and Lorente McCray, special team guys primarily, although Lorente has a chance to contribute as part of a rotational player as well. A solid player. And, you know, no Austin Seferian Jenkins. We knew that was coming to pass. He had already tweeted his goodbye to Jacksonville. So, you know, I don't fault him for taking a shot on ASJ. It's one of those, like, I heard the guys this morning, I forget exactly how Jeff Prosser characterized it, but, you know, basically like it was a huge bust. Well, I mean, I guess if you consider a guy getting hurt being a bust, we just still don't know. Who knows what Austin Seferian Jenkins could have done for the Jags last year had he not suffered a core muscle injury? Think sports hernia, all right? That's kind of what we're talking about here in preseason, to the point that it shut him down for the whole year after just a few weeks of the regular season. Who knows what a fully healthy ASJ might have done? Maybe not much, right?
And, like, you know, I don't know how much of a bust it is when you can get out of it after a year and it costs you nothing.
It cost him, like, $4 million against the cap last year, which is not a huge investment in today's NFL. I mean, it's big money in the real world, but
if you want to win, eliminate losing.
There you go. It's as simple as that.
Don
Capers coming back to Jacksonville, Tony.
Yes, he is.
What's the scoop?
He's going to be joining the staff as a senior defensive assistant. Everyone kind of tweeted it out at the same time here in the last 20 minutes or so. So Dom Capers, who was around for 99 and 2000 here in Jacksonville, he's been in Green Bay most recently, but obviously has been around the league for forever and is coming back as a defensive assistant. What that means for the practical day-to-day, I don't know, but it's another voice for Todd Wash on the defensive side of the ball, another mind in that room. You know, it's a pretty good defense anyway.
Yeah, I don't get the sense that, like, I know some people are going to read this as, well, now Dom Capers is just a heartbeat away if they need to move on from Todd Wash. I don't get the sense that they feel, you know, they look at Todd Wash and say, oh, we've had a top five defense 2 years in a row.
Yep.
Was it as good this year? No. But, I mean, if your standard is you can only be the best defense in the league or your job's in trouble, then most people's jobs would be in trouble constantly.
There'd be 31 guys.
Constantly. Right?
Every year.
Tag window is open. Today's the first day you can apply the franchise tag. I know you read that list of guys likely to get the tag earlier. Mm-hmm. C.J. Mosley, from what I understand up in Baltimore, it's going to be tough for them to tag him. You know, because, like, the tag number for a linebacker factors in all those outside linebacker pass rushers.
Yes, it does.
Somewhere in that $14 to $15 million a year range. Excellent player. Chance, I still believe Baltimore doesn't let him get away, but I think it's more likely that they craft a long-term deal that maybe lowers that cap number.
You would
number.
Think they're working hard on it.
You would think so, right? I mean, he'd be a guy. Look, would I love to have him here in Jacksonville? Yes. I think there are better ways to allocate your resources when you've got an affordable, for now, Miles Jack. I don't see bringing on a $12 million a year middle linebacker.
This probably
doesn't,
not.
Doesn't seem to be the direction that this team is headed. Pittsburgh has agreed formally to attempt to trade Antonio Brown, but he needs a gag order, I believe, in this, right? Am I wrong here? Seriously, just
good luck with that too.
Doesn't have, but wouldn't you say if you are Art Rooney and you met with him, which he did apparently yesterday, wouldn't you say, "Look, shut your damn mouth.
You're
I will
not
try
helping
to
yourself.
Trade you. You're not. Yeah. You're not helping us move you. You are limiting the pool of suitors that are going to be willing to take on what they perceive to be a locker room distraction." Great player, no question about it. But is this how you're going to conduct yourself on and on and on and all this talk about guaranteed money? One thing that Steelers have not agreed to do is they have not given Brown permission to speak to other teams.
Correct.
Other than through his social media, apparently. I mean, I don't know how they can really stop him. There's been a discussion, could they suspend him right now for conduct detrimental to the team? There's one school of thought that feels that you can't suspend anyone under that provision unless that conduct happens after the opening of training camp or later. Hmm. That the offseason is not applicable, but it's still an unresolved question because nobody's ever pushed it for conduct that's taken place at this time of year. But he's certainly doing things that are detrimental to the team. I mean, he's basically airing all kinds of dirty laundry.
Yes,
he is. He's ripping his quarterback. He's ripping his coaches, the whole nine yards. So would it be worth it to the Steelers to try to suspend him for four games? I guess they'd save some money on it. And you're going to have an even more disgruntled Antonio Brown on your hands, if that's the case. But at least they have agreed to deal him. I don't think they're taking a discount.
I don't either.
I really don't. I think they're going to look at the productivity and say, look, we put up with him this long. If we don't get what we're looking for, we're going to bite the bullet and we're going to put up with more nonsense, but we're going to take those 100 catches, 1,300 yards, and 10-plus touchdowns.
Yeah, he's already under contract. It's not Le'Veon.
No.
Le'Veon, it was they offered a contract. Le'Veon wanted
want
more.
It. Right.
Right? And they weren't going to budge on what they thought the player was worth. They've already decided what Antonio's worth. They're paying him.
Correct.
And they're willing to pay him.
For several more years.
Right. So, look, Antonio doesn't have a whole lot of leverage outside of doing, I guess, what he's doing to try to get out of Pittsburgh, but it makes it more difficult for them to get him out of Pittsburgh for what they'd want to get back for the player.
You know, it's interesting when you see that San Fran is apparently still very interested in trying to acquire Odell Beckham Jr. We'll get to some of the results of what people would give for him. But, you know, AB has made, from his point of view, it seems like that is his preferred destination, is San Francisco. Well, maybe the fact that they're interested in OBJ is an indication that he is rubbing people the wrong way.
Yeah, they've pivoted.
All right, I mean, OBJ is his own, you know, outspoken guy. All that's fine. But the thing that I think would probably sit well with people is he showed up last year even when there was a contract dispute. Before he got his extension, he didn't hold out. He showed up for the voluntary stuff in the offseason and the Giants gave him that long-term deal. He produces at a high level. Has he had some injury issues? Absolutely. But right now, you factor in the five-year age difference on top of it. A lot more attractive, in my opinion, to go the Odell Beckham Jr. route. Let's get Max on the north side in quickly here at 641-1010, and we'll get to some of these results for the question of the day presented by Bud Light. Good morning, Max.
Hey, Mike. Don Capers. Expansion coach 1995, Carolina Panthers, and Tom Coughlin, expansion coach 1995, but with the Jaguars, and they came in the league at the same time.
Correct. Yes.
That's interesting. And Capers being an a defensive mind, I guess Coughlin probably felt good. You know, like, you know, obviously felt like he was qualified. You know.
Oh, sir. I mean, look, he was on Tom's staff as the defensive coordinator here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, Yeah. You know, I forgot about that.
I mean, they were the number one defense in the league in 99. That was his first year here. He was here for 99 and 2000. And, you know, so very productive. And, you know, he had drawn some interest. I know from Cincinnati was one team that had shown some interest in Don Capers, but it didn't work out. So, and he's been a head coach, Tone, not only with Carolina, but with the Houston Texans. He's been a defense coordinator. As recently as 2017, he was with the Packers from 2009 to 2017 in that capacity. So there's no question that he's got, you know, the chops and the experience to do it. It was interesting, though. Didn't it seem like there was a bit of a phasing out of some of the Coughlin guys on the coaching staff?
A little
bit. This offseason? A little bit, right? And Don Capers is a connection back to the past again. Look, I do believe that Doug Marrone wants to win. And if he thinks Dom Capers can come in and help Todd Walsh get that defense back to where it was 2 years ago, more power to him. You know, I hope he brings some creative blitzes with him.
Sure.
Because he's been known to do that.
That's kind of his thing.
It is kind of his thing. Let's take a look.
This is a defense that hasn't liked to blitz much. Maybe that'll be more a part of it.
I'd be all for it. Honestly, at least if you're not getting – I've always been that way, though. You know, if you're not getting there, send more than they can block and make them make. There are not many guys like Brady and Drew Brees in the league that can handle that on a consistent basis.
No.
If you got the guys that can win up front in those situations, and they got the guys that can cover on the back end better than any team in the league, there is position.
And I think that was more the issue, like as much the issue this year, is that the coverage on the back end wasn't as good as it was 2 years ago. And hopefully that gets back to that kind of level. It wasn't bad. Like, I never thought it was bad, but it wasn't what it was. And they looked a lot more mortal than they did in 2017.
All right, give us a few. Let's try to set the baseline here. Not that any one person's going to have the answer, but what would people be willing to give up for OBJ from what they said today?
Yeah, we got a lot of Blake Bortles straight up. I doubt that would be enough to get him away from the New York Giants. From Ryan, if we have Foles, I'm trading our first-round pick. I think OBJ is that special. From JagFan15, the Rams' third-rounder at most. His talent is great, but I don't think this locker room his locker room presence would help the already struggling Jaguars locker room. From the dead man, he's hurt too much for his liking, so he's just a no on the player. From Chad, I'd be willing to trade whatever draft capital we'd otherwise use to target a wide receiver. So one of our third round picks or as high as round two and a player like Marquise Lee or Keelan Cole. From Delphonic, I would trade Nick Foles. He says, hear me out. Eagles won't trade Foles to Giants because they're a division rival. We trade a fourth for Nick Foles. We then trade Foles for OBJ and draft Dwayne Haskins.
Oh, I love that.
Win-win.
I love that plan. Hell yeah. A couple here. Here's one from Dylan on the Facebook page. He said, come on, man. Y'all were telling me all week Antonio Brown's a bad teammate and a potential headache. I also said I'd take Antonio Brown on the Jacksonville Jaguars, I believe, if the price was right. He says, if Brown's a headache, OBJ is a concussion to the franchise. Don't tell me y'all didn't say it either. I hear y'all every day at work.
What?
You think?
Apparently you aren't listening because I said I'd be all in on Antonio. I'm definitely all in on Odell if he's available.
Much less of a headache to me than Antonio Brown is proven to be.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, not even close. And the mere fact that he showed up last year when he didn't have to, when he was waiting on a long-term extension, I think speaks pretty well to him. Has he been an outspoken guy? Absolutely. Has he done some sideline antics? I mean, nothing.
He partied in Miami before the playoff
he
game.
Look, he's not a choir boy necessarily, no. But Antonio Brown is making himself hard to embrace for any.
They set him down for a playoff game, essentially.
Right.
The team decided to sit him down for a playoff game, and in case this person, again, didn't hear it, I'd still be okay with the team doing their due diligence on Antonio Brown. I think he's that good a player. I can understand any team saying no thank you. Based on what we've seen from him, too.
We're talking Hall of Fame-level talent. And with OBJ, Hall of Fame-level talent in his age 26 season where he's under contract for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
At what I think will turn out to be a pretty reasonable wide receiver contract, when you've already got Sammy Watkins making $16 million a year, a $19 million cap hit for OBJ is not absurd in the least bit.
No.
I mean, who would you rather have? Allen Robinson at $15 million a year, which is basically what he got from the Bears, or OBJ at 19?
OBJ easy.
All day, every day, with the baggage that comes with it as well, because he does produce on the football field. Maybe we'll just be team baggage, Tony. That's the direction we'll head. All right, with that being said, let's welcome in XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe!
Every Monday is Moe Monday. Enjoy any burrito, chip, salsa, and a drink for only $7.99. Valid for Moe's app users only. Download it today.
Hacker Nation is in the house. Hello, Hacker.
Mike, I'm good, buddy. How are you doing?
I didn't ask you how you're doing. I just said hello.
You did. Now, how are you doing,
that's
Mike?
One of those, you know, when you walk by and people are like, they say, what's up? And you're like, good.
That's true.
Right?
You know, and I'll out myself here. I was actually reading on my cell phone that you guys were talking about Antonio Brown 5 minutes ago. The NFL put on Facebook that the Steelers have agreed to look into the trading of Antonio Brown.
If you listened to Jaguars Today, you would have known that already.
Well, there you go.
Maybe we talked about that 5 minutes ago. I don't know. It's possible.
Had a meeting down the hallway. What can I tell you?
Did you? Hacker, do you have Netflix, Hacker?
I do.
Abducted in Plain Sight. Have you seen it?
No, but I've heard about it.
You got to watch it and tell us if you think it's even plausible that it's true.
Okay.
I mean, it's that crazy a story. It's my fixation today. I watched it yesterday. Tony mentioned it the other day, and I swore to secrecy.
I did.
We've given no spoilers other than to say it is hard to believe that these people are telling a true story. It's this outlandish a story.
Is it a movie? Is it
a documentary about an abduction or a pair of abductions.
Abducted in Plain Sight.
Abducted in Plain Sight about a girl, and they tell you this literally in the first like 10 seconds on the thing. A girl was abducted by the next door neighbor. Not once, but twice.
Twice.
By the same neighbor, same girl. You're thinking, how could that be possible? Because clearly he'd be locked away for a long time after abducting and kidnapping a girl the first time.
Right.
Watch the documentary, Hacker. Huh. Please watch his documentary.
I will take a look. I like
stuff
like that.
So 90 minutes out of your life, you will appreciate it greatly. What do you guys have coming up today?
Obviously, a lot of Jaguar talk. The fact they extended Calais Campbell, Cody Davis, Laurente McRae, did not extend Safarian Jenkins. We'll talk about that. Dom Capers being added to the coaching staff. We'll get into that as well. And also, Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com, a little bracketology about the Florida Gators, Florida State, and, of course, a round one pod, round one and round two here in Jacksonville. So what does Jerry Palm of CBS see as what's coming down the pike for Jacksonville in regards to the NCAA tournament?
All right, Hack, we'll be listening. Unlike you and Jaguars today.
It'll be appointment viewing tomorrow, my friend.
Have a good show.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Wait. Appointment viewing. Is he going to come in and stare at us as we do the show? I don't know what the hell's going on. Poor Hack. He comes in here, and I just run all this nonsense out of my mouth at him. Telling you, watch it, all you Netflixians out there, Abducted in Plain Sight. Mm-hmm. I'm not overselling how ridiculous this story is.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I was mad. For like the whole hour and a half, I was mad, and like my rage was shifting to different people as the show was going. Like, I know where most of my rage landed, like,
yes,
when everything is said
but
and done.
You're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid, you're really stupid. There's no way, and you're doing the, what? I mean,
that
honestly, if at any point, if any one of them had said, just kidding, right? Would have totally bought it,
yeah.
Right? Like,
would've
okay,
like, oh,
yeah, that was right.
Me.
That was
like,
ridiculous.
Why did I
course,
believe any of this at
of
any
point? Of course
point,
that's not
right?
real. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thanks to former Jaguar, former Gator Josh Evans, now playing with the Orlando Apollos. Joined us in hour number one. Chris Tripodi from DraftAnalyst.com as well. We'll probably be over at the bank tomorrow. We got D-Rock on Thursday. Johnny O will be in on Friday this week. No McManus this week. But the Jaguars today will continue to soldier on, moving towards the NFL scouting combine, free agency, the NFL draft, and all that good stuff. So that'll do it for us today. For Fat Tony, for ET, and Joe Fortunato, I am Mike Dempsey. Thanks, as always, for listening to Jaguars Today. Back again tomorrow from 10 to noon here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for TireOutlet.com. Tax refund season will be upon you soon, but you don't have to wait that long. If you need new tires, check out Tire Outlet and their 9 locations around the First Coast right now, because they have new tires starting as low as $39. And if that's not what you need, used tires as low as only $29. Again, 9 outlets across the First Coast. Log on to TireOutlet.com. Find the one closest to you to get your new or used tires. TireOutlet.com, wholesale prices and premium service.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go to the...